Good evening, everybody. My name is Zubaz, and welcome to the first, and knowing my procrastination level, most likely the last, Threads of Time podcast. I'm so happy to be joined by the man, the myth, the legend, the creator of the Classic League, Citizen Clone. But first, I need to give a big shout-out to the sponsor of the podcast, Pennant Wars. They're just like CSFBL, except they removed all the flaws and added a whole lot of new ones of their own. They took a look at CSFBL and said, WTF, we're going to rip this bitch off. I firmly believe that they're the right game at the right time, and I think we can all agree, we like CSFBL, but we just wish it cost a little bit more. Pennant Wars. Sign up today with the promo code LIBEL, or SLANDER, one of the two is correct, and receive 5% off of your ninth season. We will send an email to all your Facebook and email contacts as well, letting them know that you're using Pennant Wars. Pennant Wars! We make the easiest parts more painful to find. And now, on with the show.
Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Who's the man with his master plan? Who's the man? Who's the man? Who's the man with his master plan? Who's the man? Who's the man? Quietly runs the game, fixing bugs in the dark. Invite to the league, makes the dude jump the shark. Trick him for the loot, poke to make a big splash. Maybe crazy to the root, but this red made him cash. Look at the clock now, John's about to rock. 12th tower coming round, everybody starts to frown. Next thing I heard, clone flying. Say sorry, or he's gone Brian. Run and go high, the AUC was applied. The day the forum died, his reach is far and wide. I guess it's just something that you can't understand. Spooks in my hand, tell me who's the man.
Okay, and we are live with the man, the myth, the legend, Citizen Clone. I'm not sure what I should call you. Should I just call you Russ?
It's up to you.
I'm gonna call you Russ, because otherwise it's gonna get weird. Just like
call you Zubaz.
Yeah, whenever I do those videos, like the very first one, that presidential video, I caught that first part was kind of ad-libbed because I called myself Zubaz, and I was like, I've never heard myself say that out loud before. It was fucking weird.
I always talk about you guys with your screen names.
Yeah, everybody wanted to call me
in my phone.
What's that?
In my phone, you're all by your names.
You know what? You know what's weird about that is, like, everybody is in there as their screen name except for you. You're just your full name. I don't know why. I need to change that. It's too personal. Yeah. It's creepy.
I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Yeah. So, well, at least I don't have you in there as, like, my boo. So, anyways, the thought behind doing this is, first, just because I wanted to mess around on my Mac and learn how to do stuff, but then also I thought it was kind of a medium that we've never explored. We've done music and videos and all sorts of different things, but I kind of like to start doing this and, just have a conversation and whatever. It's definitely not going to be safe for work or anything, so don't be shy.
That's why I got this drink.
Yeah, so I had to, what is the drink, by the way?
You don't want to know what it is.
Well,
grapefruit juice, seltzer, and gin.
Oof. Gin smells like celery to me. I don't know why. Or pine cones.
Pine cones. Yeah. Celery doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, we talked about it briefly before we started recording, but I don't drink anymore, but I still like thinking about it. It's kind of like gambling. Like I like to think about gambling. I don't know.
Relive the glory days.
Fuck, man. Like, every time I think about one of the glory days, like something ridiculous comes along with it where I'm just like, what the F was I doing?
Yeah, no kidding.
Just brutal.
Not just for you, but me too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you can't drink as much anymore anyway because you got kids everywhere.
I barely drink except for bowling night.
You still bowl?
Yeah, man. I run the league.
Oh.
That's my specialty is running.
Running leagues?
Running leagues.
Yeah. Well, that's actually the whole reason that I wanted you to be on the first one of these is because, I started a conversation or a thread about if people would still be as active if it wasn't for TCL. And mm-hmm. all those bitches said, yeah, they would be, but there's no fucking way, right?
I saw that.
There's no way. I mean, that league has more posts than like every league combined. I'm making that up, but I mean, it's basically that. And there's just no way people would have held their interest if it wasn't for that league.
I agree. I mean, hasn't everybody acknowledged that the game is broken or at least figured out? I mean,
yeah, I mean, the game's fine, but I see it as kind of like the backdrop and the reason that people stick around is the community. I mean, I would call bullshit on anybody that said, you know, I'm sticking around because this amazing gameplay, like I just can't figure this game out. It's like World of Warcraft.
And there's a few people that are maybe there for the game, but
I mean, I'm there for the competition, I guess, but not the game. Like the game's good.
That's
but,
what,
you know,
when I came back, you know, that was the, because I had figured out a long time ago that I felt like I had done everything in the game I wanted to do. And then after a long time, I thought, well, maybe it'd just be fun to compete again. And then pretty quickly after that, I thought, I'm not going to put in the time to do this right.
Yeah. Well, because to do it right, the real secret, or at least in my opinion, beyond knowing anything about the game, is building relationships and being good at trading.
Yep. Well, back in the day, it was like having fucking, what was it, iChat or whatever, and sitting AIM. There and chatting, and when the draft came out, chatting, and when the deadlines came in, I did not feel like talking to any of you motherfuckers about trades, so it just became too much work.
So let me
Plus,
back...
in all honesty,
yeah,
you guys let me win way too fast when I came back, and that killed it. I was wondering if the game had passed me by, and I know that sounds totally cocky, but
No. Well, it didn't because the game didn't change, you know? I mean, the game hasn't, and this isn't a knock against the game, it just hasn't evolved a lot, so the same things that you were successful at before, you know, you could replicate.
Yeah.
So let me back it up for a second, though, because
sure.
I want to talk about, like, the actual creation of the league. How long had you been playing the game when you created TCL?
Not long at all. I think like 2 or 3 months. And, you know, I was playing like public leagues for a week or two. And then, I started talking on the forum there a lot. And then D-Man was starting a new league and he was starting senior circuit, I think, or junior circuit, one of the, Aztecs was in it. Goot was in it, I think. But, and then so he sought me out because I think I had a high post count. And then I went into that one. And then somewhere I have it written up that I got angry pretty fast at the way he was running it. And then I think I thought, well, if I'm going to do this, I'd rather just do it myself. And, so then I decided to start the league up.
Why'd you name it the Classic League?
Thought it sounded cool that moment. I don't know.
Yeah.
The, you know, there was an attempt to sound old time baseball. I don't know. You know, we got lucky. We got totally lucky with everybody that was in it at the beginning. Krakow and Zinger and Metz and you and all those people that were around. Tron and Bags.
Yeah.
Sold out.
Yeah. Duke. That was, I thought about that a lot, like, you know, 2007 and 8 when the league was just peaking and just the group of people that we had was the perfect mix.
Yeah.
At the time.
So, took a while to get rid of some of the first people.
Yeah. Planet Zito and Rusty Nail.
Yeah.
And J. Giambi.
I remember there was one time when Tom West left.
Yeah.
He said he was leaving, and because we used to, you know, we wrote so much on the forums, and he barely wrote anything. And he said he was leaving, and I wrote him, and I was like, "Don't leave. We want you to stay around." And I think he said, "Why?" And it made me laugh, and he was right. I mean,
yeah, why?
He wasn't involved in any of the bullshit that we were doing.
Yeah, I couldn't. At that time, like, I had only been in CSFBL for maybe, like, 2 or 3 months. Maybe it was longer. I don't know. But I was just in one public league, and I decided to try and get into a private league. And for some reason, I thought Remake was, like, really difficult to get into. And so, you know, I'm not even sure how I found it. It must have been a post or something. But I only had one team, so literally I had no experience. I'm not even sure why you let me in the league. And, yeah, I think probably if that league wouldn't have kicked off, I probably wouldn't even have played much more than another month or two.
Well, you were probably, now I'll blow you on here. You were like the key person, although it was hilarious because you were so quiet in the beginning.
I was.
And we had no idea. My sense of time is totally skewed because it seems like it took us a while to get warmed up and it took and all these different things. And then when I look back, it happened instantly.
Yeah. You know what I realized when I was, I'm sorry, I'm talking over you.
No, I need to, you might want to pause for a second.
Well, I'll tell you a story why you're doing that, even if you're not listening. When I was getting ready for the podcast, I was trying to figure out something to do for bumper music. And I was going to do The Day the Forums Died. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And I was like, and so like that was, I think, like one of those moments where the league was kind of taking on a life of its own because like the whole group of people had banded together to fight the awful community managers. Do you realize that was only 10 months after the league started?
Yeah. That is totally skewed in my mind.
Yeah. Because I felt like it took a long time. You know, you said I was really quiet at first, but I mean like 10 months in, we're like doing some weird fight the power thing.
It all happened pretty fast. So this is going to suck, but I need to cut off for a second. Liz needs me for 10 minutes.
You there?
Yep.
All right.
Family obligations. They don't understand the need for creative, isolation? No.
Yep. Did they, you had to go make love to your wife?
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Pretty much. Pretty much. I had to go and figure out who was going to take care of the baby during grocery unpacking.
Yeah, you pretty much have to plan everything in your life based around those kids. I didn't even like having a dog.
it's totally true. And I thought about it this morning. I thought, just go into the office because I'll get more done. We can do this. I won't be distracted. But then I ended up staying at home to avoid wasting the time driving, which at the moment feels like the wrong choice.
So I want to get back to what we were talking about because I actually wanted to ask you a little bit more about D-Man because he indirectly, it sounds like, actually created TCL in a way, and he doesn't even realize it.
I tried to give him credit in that thread a long time ago, but he considered it to be a slam, although I'm sure that there's a reason why he felt that way. But he was totally he was the thing that drove me to start it.
What was the, I can't think of what the Magoo story was. Was that before TCL started?
Yeah, I remember it because when I was having the problem with him in the other league, I think I went, that was when I first started searching the forums and somebody had said something about D-Man acting crazy in another league, and then a bunch of people chimed in with little comments about how hilarious it was. And then I went digging and found all the Magoo stuff. And
what was it again, though? Why did we call him Magoo?
Because so the story as I know it was.
This is funny.
He started to have a meltdown in one of the leagues, where everybody was getting angry at him, like we did at times, and then he decided to try to get out of it by having somebody show up and say that they had taken over D-Man's account for 3 weeks and nothing that he had said was actually him, and the person that had taken his account was Magoo, and apologize, and now D-Man's gonna take back over. But then later, you know, he had a hard time keeping his story straight, so then later he explained that the letters in Magoo were supposed to correspond to the members of the secret tribunal that he used to have, that I can't remember what they did, scoured for cheating, or
that's right, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And he had some kind of, like, Pope to God type communication with Brian.
Yeah.
About it.
I saw some of those. I saw some PMs from him when I was cleaning out the inbox recently, and I felt bad. I really never intended to go after him.
Yeah, you did.
Well,
maybe not like, I mean, that, but he kept bringing it on himself, and he kept.
Well, that's what it would be, is that a conversation would start and he would come up with lies, and then I would get angry, and then I would feel like I needed to point out the lies, but then it would go too far.
Yeah. Yeah, I went way too far when I exposed how, well, no, he went, no, fuck him. He went way too far when he said his friend died, and then he was screwing his Raw Dog and Red Dog's wife. Remember that nonsense?
Yeah, that one is the killer. How long were you holding on to that one? Because it was in the middle of an argument, and you were like, here we go. And then you dumped the whole portfolio on that.
The only thing I can say about that is alcohol is a hell of a drug, man. Because, you know, what happens is I used to get inspired when I was drunk, and I'd be sitting there, and it's like 9 o'clock at night. I'd start researching something at 1 in the morning. I was like, I got you, bitch.
That one was brutal. But I do feel bad about pain that was caused to him and other people along the way. I've grown up some, not all the way, but I would like to say that I do feel validated in many ways, that the people that I had battles with generally ended up being problem people. Even before, and a lot of people didn't realize they were problem people until later.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, I think Scrub. We all used to be a little bit younger and crazier and a little less mature, especially me. But yeah, Scrub's another good example.
I never, you know, you're talking about that, but I had never, you know, I'd never spent this much time online, really, but I had never spent, I mean, I never got to know anybody online before this league, you know. I mean, I just flitted in and out of stuff and pretty much still do, but the idea of actually getting to know a group of people regularly was new to me. So, you know, part of that was learning how to deal with that. So I think I might have been going through the stuff that 12-year-olds go through now and learning how to fight with people or not fight with people or act mature when the other person is crazy or whatever. So I was going through that later in life, but
you were going through your online puberty
pretty much. Yeah. That's what I think. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing that I felt like was lost in our little whatever that thing was that Rent set up, that bracket. When I did that video and showed the Scrub sketch that I bought, I was like, you know, in retrospect, man, that was totally wasted. I should have showed that a couple years before because it just didn't have the impact anymore. But I had it sitting around my house for years. I never pulled it out. I got
that stuff is great.
I bought the kid peeing. And you know what's funny about that is, I shouldn't say his name, but his name's first name's Rob, and when I tried to buy it online, I bought it at his website, and he recognized my name, and sent me an email, saying, "Why are you buying this? Are you just buying it to play a joke on me, or what is it?" And I was like, "No, man, I was looking at the forums and I had the picture up and my mom was with me. I came up with this ridiculous story and my mom really liked your sketch drawing and she wants it. So I'm buying it for her. Her birthday is so-and-so." It was all nonsense. I just bought it to troll the guy.
Oh my God.
Not good.
Yeah. I do worry that somebody's going to show up one day at my door and say, "You remember me?"
Yep. You know who I was waiting for? Big Tweed to do that to me. After he posted that picture of his fake wife.
All these things that are lost on the forums, the picture, all those old pictures that are gone.
The drunk thread?
Drunk thread that's gone. The real controversy thread.
Yeah,
that stuff,
man.
Good stuff. I mean, there was like life conversations in there.
Especially that drunk thread. I went through my divorce on that drunk thread.
Yep. Tron finding out about his kid.
Yeah, wow.
All that stuff.
Yeah, when Metz showed up for like a week, he said he still talks to Tron. And he was going to try and get him to drop in. I'd like to see what's going on with that guy.
Used to be Facebook friends with him, and then he dropped me. He was always particularly private and worried about online stuff.
He was, yeah. Yeah, I talked to him on the phone once.
You did?
Yeah, he said that you know, he had a story that he just had to tell somebody, and so I'm talking to him and he's telling me this ridiculous story. He must have lived in Washington D.C. or something, and he was like on a tram and he just decided that this girl that he saw was like the most beautiful girl in the world and he was going to marry her, love at first sight. So he thought that the way to impress her was to grab the overhead bar that they have in the trams and just start doing pull-ups in front of her. I know. It just doesn't make sense at all. And so he just starts ripping out pull-ups and this girl invites him. I'm totally slaughtering this story.
It worked?
But invites him and girlfriends to her house and they start having this party and yeah, I don't really remember what happens next, but he struck out pretty bad and like and took the nuclear option.
What was that?
I don't know. I think he just started calling all the girls bitches, started pointing at them, doing the "fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, you're cool, fuck you, I'm out." Tron. He was.
Can't believe he thought. What did he sound like? Because he was a Louisiana boy.
Yeah, I don't really remember him having a Southern accent. Not like you.
I don't have a Southern accent.
I was just waiting for you to say it. Actually, I don't hear your accent.
When we got on the phone before, I was thinking about your accent, and you sound just like
Jimmy Stewart.
The guy on. Did you watch The Office?
Yeah.
Oh no, you sound like the guy that I posted the videos of recently, the yo-yo guy.
Who? The yo-yo guy.
The guy that was doing the fake yo-yo. Morning show things, and he did it in Wisconsin. You must have not.
Oh, yeah, I saw.
You need to look that up. There's something in the cadence of your voice or whatever that you guys talk similarly.
I don't know. Somebody told me I sounded like Jimmy Stewart the other day.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Probably not. So, another thing from the history of the league that's coming up really quick is April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
And
I've been worried quite a bit that this whole thing is an April Fool's joke.
What we're doing right now?
Yep.
No,
that's my computer's going to explode.
No. This is an April Fool's joke, but we did do the original April Fool's joke yet to be replicated. I was trying to think of what it was, and I remember it was a trade for Shumway, right?
There were attempts to recreate. Sometimes they worked. It was a trade for Shumway. It was a fake trade. That was when I already had the reputation of being a...
That you took advantage of people in trades,
yep.
Right?
So we had a trade and we left the like I had two first rounders. I had an early first rounder.
Yeah.
Late first rounder, and we left it vague. And you made a comment about it being like a top five pick, and I said,
yes,
it's not. And then we immediately started yelling at each other. And I had people chatting me up at the time, like, you guys need to calm down. They were worried that
somebody's going to quit. I think one of us did quit.
And Mets was saying that the only solution was that we just take Crocco's pick from him.
That's right. And he was serious about it, too, because Crocco's pick was somehow involved in it.
Yeah. You thought that, I don't know, it was somehow involved.
And then Crocco and it was almost like Mets knew it was a joke and just making it more ridiculous, but he didn't.
We had some other ones going, but it's too difficult. And it's too
difficult to get over on people now. Everybody has their guard up.
Or if we do it, it would be so much work for so little payoff.
Yeah.
Which is the kind of thing that you do.
Well, I try to put in all that work with the Jelly joke, but that one fell on its face because Jelly was just taking it too far, and people started hating him really quick.
Yeah, I was gone at that time, so that most of that never made any sense to me.
Yeah, it was probably pretty ill-conceived on my part.
What was it that he would piss everybody off and then come back as another person and then...
Yeah, we were going to kick him out of the league. Yeah, it was a pretty ambitious plan because we were going to kick him out of the league, and then he also had a second account going, T. Keller, who was going to be the exact Jelly opposite, you know, like a real God-fearing person. And
he was going to get into the league?
And I was going to... I mean, there was a lot of variables there that were out of my control. I had to get him kicked out of the league and then somehow rig the vote to get this guy in the league.
And then what would the final payoff be?
That T. Keller was going to start... I think it was T. Keller was going to start annoying people with his opposite Jelly stuff. And then on April Fool's Day, we were going to announce that it was Jelly.
How early in the year did you start that?
God, it must have been like late February. I mean, it was a protracted amount of time. It was not a good idea. Because the thing I didn't really think about is that even after the joke, there was going to be so much animosity towards Jelly that it was going to take him a long time to recover.
Yeah, it was getting ugly. That was when I came in, was that people were talking about having a vote, and then I was getting involved, and then that was when... You rigged it, which Jelly still loves and talks about, because you knew that behind the scenes I had gathered enough votes together for different things.
Yep.
So you added it, which was fine.
You know, like speaking of Jelly, you know, people credit him a lot for making defense a big part of the game, but actually, like, way before that, like in the first year of TCL, I remember you telling me that the whole secret to your success was just going around and finding teams with bad shortstops and then taking their best pitcher.
Yep, definitely. And then the other way around is getting the shortstops and selling pitchers that looked better than they were.
Yep.
Yeah, I did that early and somehow it got passed on. But I talked about that recently. Mets was the one. He says he doesn't remember it, but it's because I had Frank King that first year and I traded him, and all of a sudden all of my same pitchers were half a run worse. And that's when I figured out how important the defense was. And then I immediately started banging on Walton to try to get James Thomas from him.
Was Frank King was shortstop?
Yep.
Why do I feel like he was in the outfield? Oh, because he caught babies in the outfield.
He caught babies in the outfield. That one fateful day.
Yeah. Wow, he had an exceptional range if he went from shortstop to catch a baby in the outfield.
Still love Frank King to this day. I think he was 300K. Good defense, whatever. I don't know why I'm talking about this.
Because it's Frank
King. When we're done with this call, I'll go and masturbate to my old players.
Who is your favorite player? Is it Frank King?
No. I mean, he had a place in my heart.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, let me guess. It's Kenneth Weaver.
I did like Kenneth Weaver. He's the guy I never traded.
He was the only guy you never traded. You even traded Jeff Myron.
I love Jeff Myron, too. It was probably Weaver because he was so good in defense. Nobody was paying enough for defense at the time.
Yeah.
Or he was good in relation. But, you know, I did pull a fast one on my a tricky trade when I came back that we never talked about.
What's that?
I can't remember who it was with. When we came back, you know, I got the number one pick that after the first half season. And then I went and saw, who is it? It's Weaver. I traded for
Gareth Weaver.
Weaver, but he wasn't Gareth Weaver at the time.
Yeah.
Is it Hank that had him? I can't remember. But I knew I wanted him. So I traded him my first rounder for the next year. And I threw in a stipulation that was like, if it's the number one again, you have to give me such and such. But it ended up being like the 15 or 16 or 17 because I knew that I'd be trading back in and getting my team together. So that was a little dirty.
Ah, is it, well, yeah. I don't know if it was dirty. It was just Kaz-ish. Kaz was always good at pulling those.
I am. Although, I repeat, I did not think that I would be able to get my team together that fast. So, I was a little surprised.
Yeah.
But
did you win one World Series when you came back or two?
I won one and then Gad won the one after I left.
Yeah.
Which I totally count that for me. I totally count piggies for me. when I get the rings made at the local jewelry store, I get extra.
Yeah. I still think it's funny because I think people think I'm talking shit when I say I don't know how the game's played. Like, obviously, I know the basics of the game and I know, you know, whatever, that range is important and discipline and slugging together is important, stuff like that, basic stuff. But I really don't know how the game's played. I don't know what combination of finesse, control, and Psy. I don't even know what the fuck Psy is. I have no idea what specialty is, how it works. And I've won, eight World Series in that league.
Well, I feel similar. I mean, when I came back and they had details they were talking about that I didn't know anything about, which I was paying attention to a little bit because I had to grind together a team. But, I mean, my whole thing was always trading for people that have played and just go, I mean, you know, I banked off their stats and their park because I expected that the same stats would work for me.
Right.
So,
yeah, that's really what it comes down to. I guess there's different ways to win. Some people win because they are really good at figuring out how the game works and everything, and other people win just by doing what you're talking about, just being good at trading and identifying talent. I think the only thing like I feel like I am pretty good at is putting the team together, like trading for people that are similar age, drafting the right positions.
Yeah, that's the balancing of the team. That's the biggest thing. I mean, it's not just trading.
Yeah, just being able to keep them around for a few years and take a few runs at it.
Well, and you have to have, yeah, that was my best team was when I finally let myself miss some playoffs so that I could get everybody to the exact same age rather than trying to grind out an okay team. And I got everybody the same age, and then I would just trade off one or two people. But it's the other thing, too. It's always the not getting attached to players because everybody else is going to be attached to your player and get excited.
Yeah.
And I never, except for Kenneth Weaver, I was always willing to trade anybody.
I've never gotten past that. I can't trade people I care about. It's so stupid. You know, they're just names on a page, but man, like once I got Willie Waltz, there is no chance ever he was leaving my team.
Is that true? You never traded him?
No. Well, I think I probably traded him at the very end.
Around players,
or cut him or something, but
we used to pass those people around. Castro back and forth and
Castro
back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah, that happened quite a bit. Larry Turpin.
Yep.
I think he was actually part of the Shumway trade.
I think he was too.
So,
talking more about the game than I thought we would.
Yeah, yeah.
And I regret some of the things I've said out loud.
I'll edit it out. No, I won't.
Mm-mm.
That drink sounds like it's almost empty.
It is almost empty, but it's enough to do the job.
So, all right, so we get off the game for a second. Let's talk about the real-life meetups, because we kind of I guess there was some meetup that Brian organized, like, right when I started the game.
Yeah.
But other than that, I think it's been pretty much just us. I don't know.
Did any of our people go to that?
I have no idea. I guess I was pretty young at that time in the game.
It would have been, I mean, I guess they met, did they go to Yankees game maybe? I don't know. But
yeah.
But yeah, even when they did that, I remember thinking, like, it seems so fruity and I would never do that. And Mets and I almost had one years ago and then he backed out. That was back when we were preparing for meetups. And then that's when you and Aztecs met up. And he confirmed that you weren't a murderer. But it occurs to me, because I traveled with my wife and small child to Wisconsin, totally on his word, it would have been so easy for the two of you to have planned my murder. I don't know why I trusted Kim, but I did.
Yeah, it's kind of strange, because like back then, like you just assume everybody on the internet is a creep job, right? And it turns out everybody's just normal people, you know. But yeah, when I first met Aztecs, it was kind of strange. Like, we met at a casino, like, so we made sure we were in a public place with a lot of people around. I figured he was gonna be cool because I knew what his job was, but it was funny. Like, I went there like wearing a suit coming right from work, and he's wearing like a yellow, like I don't know, like Hawaii t-shirt or something, and then like some shorts and flip-flops. Like, and it was kind of strange because I realized that I was like having an internet date or something. I'm going to hang out with some dude I met on the internet. We're going to go to a casino.
Totally true. I think that was like a month. It couldn't have been a month before, could it?
Yeah, I think that's all it was.
Yeah, it's crazy that we, when I flew out there, that was a big leap of faith. I do remember being worried and talking to him, being like, all right, I'm going to need a crib for the baby. Do you guys have cribs? And you were starting to get offended.
Yeah.
You're like, not Joe's shack on the side of the road.
Not Bob's roadside motel. We have color TV and everything.
And then when we rolled up to the place, it's like, oh my God, you got to be kidding me.
Well, I guess the one out that you did have, though, is you could say, hey, we're coming to Wisconsin because, you know, my wife went to school here. I have a friend, Gideon, that lives around here.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, there was other reasons. So you could not just say, I'm going to meet some dude in my fantasy baseball league.
That was a great time. Lemke said, and I feel bad because I didn't name Lemke earlier when I was naming the original people.
Yeah.
But do you remember that he wasn't sure whether I was a black guy with a handlebar mustache or not when he came into the bar?
No, is that what you told him?
We had said so many dumb things that he was confused about what was true and what wasn't.
I don't think I've ever seen a black guy with a handlebar mustache. I kind of wish you were one.
I'm sure you have. But, yeah, no, that was a great trip. And I think back to that.
Yeah, that was fun.
Why did you change your job?
I know. I had such a great job. Well, it wasn't a great job to work there, but everybody really liked me working there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Madison isn't bad, though. You got to come to Madison.
I've been to Madison.
No, I mean, again, you got to bring the family.
Come again? Yeah, we will. We will.
I have cribs at this hotel, too.
I know. You've been very generous. I don't want to outstay the generosity or whatever. I was mad because we were leaving that place, which I thought was awesome, in the Dells.
Yeah.
And that was when you were like, it was the last day, and you're like, I just talked to somebody about a job in Iowa. Eesh. I'm totally not going to take it, but I just did it just to see what's what. And then by the next time I talked to you, you were headed.
Yeah, I'm not sure why I took that job, and I think I just needed to get away. It was right after the divorce and everything. I was like, I just need to go clear my head for a while. But that was a mistake, because then I just ended up there alone in the middle of Iowa, so the only thing there was to do was be an alcoholic.
and bang, crazy woman.
Yeah, that happened too.
You guys still talk? Probably.
No.
You still talk to everybody.
Yeah, I try and stay friends with everybody, but yeah.
She married?
I don't think so. I don't really know, I guess. Yeah,
she
I don't
still
think
consider
so.
You guys to be engaged?
Say that again?
She still consider you guys to be engaged?
No. that was a weird story. That was a weird story. Not sure I'm going to share it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, maybe for a future podcast. But then, actually, you know, right after that, it couldn't have been long, and we went to Louisville. Right? I guess I was living in Iowa when we went to Louisville.
No.
No, I couldn't have been.
No, I think you were... No, I don't think that's true. I think you were back.
Yeah, I don't... No, I wasn't back. No.
You weren't in Madison?
No. I was either in the Dells or in Iowa. I think I was in Iowa. But,
I remember... You have that conversation. You said you lost the conversation that you recorded. Louisville was a good time too, but you spent. That was when you were. I don't know why I want to drag your.
No, I'll tell the story.
Okay, you go ahead.
So I was trying to trick all of us. We had just gotten back from drinking all day or whatever, and I had my laptop open, and I was like, I am going to blackmail these motherfuckers. So. I started an audio recording, and my idea was that I was going to get you guys to talk about how much money it would take for you to suck a guy's dick. And I don't know why I'm hatching this plan. I was drunk. Well, I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But so we get through it and whatever, and nobody knows. So I get back home, and I'm like, I'm going to listen to this video or this audio to see how much incriminating evidence I had on you guys. And it was nothing but 22 minutes of me talking about how much money it would take for me to suck guys' dicks.
Oh, my God.
It was funny because I was, like, trying to get you guys to talk about it, and you were not – and I was drunk, obviously. And so I'm trying to get you guys to take the bait.
I remember Lemke being, like, 50 bucks.
Yeah, it got to the – end, and here Lemke's the only one I'm getting on the line that he's gonna do it for a bag of Fruit Loops and a slap on the ass or something.
That was that the same night that we had the plan. I can't take it when I think back. So was that was rock paper scissors night and yes. Taking Lemke's colon night.
That's
which is not related.
That was the shoe beer night.
But then he was gonna. What was the bet? He was going to stay up for 3 days.
48 hours.
No, it was. I thought it was longer than that.
No, was,
we had this whole plan where we were trying to figure it out. He was going to stay up for, I thought it was 3 days. And we were going to, part of the plan.
An hour. We were going to take turns staying awake to make sure he stayed up.
There was a part that he came up with that he was going to use a treadmill. And he was going to have to stay. And something about it, he had to stay on the treadmill for a certain amount of time so we could check the distance or something.
That's right. That is right. And he figured that he walked like 4 miles per hour, so we woke up and it wasn't a very flawed plan.
Yeah, why can't you just leave the treadmill on?
But, I don't know. Yeah, he
then
he
I think you were the one
that
said
win back his money because he had lost like $320 playing rock, scissors, paper to me.
No, he lost. He didn't lose that much. He lost it on basketball.
Well, basketball too. But then we started doing rock, scissors, paper for $20, and it ended up being a sizable sum of money.
I know,
sizable enough that I was putting $20 in the bottom of my shoes and making them drink beers out of it. And he got $20 at a time. He did three shoe beers.
And he lost the money. He still talks about how he lost the money.
And
where he says that the housekeeping. People grabbed it.
To this day, like, I feel like secretly he thinks that I took that money or something because he put it in the phone book to dry it out, which that doesn't make much sense why you would do that either. But he was searching that phone book for like an hour the next morning. And
he wanted it to be crisp in case there were any other bets that he had to drink the money with.
Not a good plan. Yeah, you know, it was at least $250 because I remember we did double or nothing on the last game, and it would have been over $500 if Kansas would have won.
Yeah, he was home. He talked about being crazy for it.
Yeah,
that was also, I believe, the same night that we saw the cult in the
and Aztecs
hotel.
Went to go talk to him.
Was that?
Or he went to go see if the people in the bar were swingers.
Yeah. Which seemed totally reasonable at the time.
It did. When you walk into that bar, everybody turns and looks at you like, I feel like I should just drop my pants and get this party started. Like, it's very odd. It was a very odd place. But the cult was a church of some kind, wasn't it? And they were all meeting in the meeting room in the middle of the night?
I think it was like a leadership convention with a Christian twist or something, but it was like 3 o'clock in the morning and they were meeting in the lobby, and it was like a fundamentalist Amway salesman meeting, and we just stood there, and then the people in dark coats came over and told us to leave.
Yeah, that's right. That was pretty sketchy. I didn't have any photos of that.
We were so young.
So young and innocent.
And, what year would that be?
Yeah, and you know,
2008, 2009.
That was, yeah, probably 2009 because we went to Minneapolis in 2011, right? No,
really?
It had to be earlier than that. It had to be 2008.
It's the year that Carolina and Kansas played in the Final Four.
Yeah,
so I was so excited about Carolina losing.
Yeah, and it was.
I made a terrible bet with you on that too.
I made a
bet that they were going to come back.
It was Kansas and Memphis that were in the finals, so whatever year that was.
Yeah, you can look it up.
And then we did Minneapolis. That was the biggest get-together. How many people we have? Like 8 or 9 people? Because it was... Let me count them off real quick, because it was Aztecs, Lemke, you, me, Joke, Jelly, Pimp,
okay.
Ken, who'd you say?
Okay.
Hawkeye and Bengal.
Afro,
yep. So that's 11. I think that was it. God, I hope I'm not forgetting somebody that's listening to this.
We're probably leaving somebody out. I lost track of who you were saying, but yeah, I didn't know half those guys because I had been gone from the league and I just wanted to hang out. But that was a good time, except for me getting drunk that one night and then getting the stupid idea that I was going to try to sober up, and I was making it worse on myself because I kept drinking water, and you guys were saying, just have another beer, and I thought you were being sarcastic.
No,
and that was exactly what I knew.
Well, back then, my answer for everything was beer. Did you know that night that you were having trouble, that was the night that I was talking to that girl. And I was like, man, I'm really making a lot of inroads here. Turned out that she was an escort. Nice. Remember, and she directed me to her pimp?
Supposedly everybody, 50% of the women in Minneapolis are escorts, I've heard.
that's a real percentage, 50% even. It's a coin flip.
Yep. So I bet people are loving hearing us talk about the old days.
Yeah, we're rambling. But yeah, that's exactly what this is all about. Figure things out, talk about whatever.
What are you going to do at the next meetup when you're not drinking?
Nothing interesting, more than likely. I don't know if I said it before we started recording or not, but I think I'm on, I got it right here. I think it's 269 days or something. Let's see here. 267 days sober. That's over 2/3 of a year.
That's
the
awesome.
Longest I've gone since I was like 15 years old.
Yeah.
That's
amazing, man.
Yeah. Can't screw it up now. But yeah, so
yeah.
I think that I screwed up the last get together because we were going to go to Vegas, but I just don't think I could have survived it. So I canceled.
Oh, yeah. I was wondering about that myself.
But the St. Louis one, Jar crapped out, and then everybody kind of fell out because we were only going there really for him.
Jar's, he moved specifically to avoid that meetup.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
So we should continue to try to plan them for around him and see where else he'll move.
He's in Florida now. I don't want to go to Florida. I don't like Florida.
That's true.
But we need to do something this summer.
Next meetup. 10-year anniversary of TCL.
It is.
Next year. And we should totally get together that first week of the March Madness.
You want to wait a year? We need to do it this summer.
All right. A meetup, not the next meetup.
Yeah.
I do need to get out of this damn town.
We can do it this spring. I still think that somewhere on the East Coast is where we need to be, Washington, D.C. or Philly or someplace like that.
I'd be up for that.
Yeah.
I'm going to start traveling, I told you, for
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Coordinate. I'll be in New York and Boston and Nashville.
For a week at a time?
No, they'll be short, but I can extend them if I need to.
If you want to?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. When's that start?
Keeps getting pushed back. Probably start in June.
All right.
Depends on when the funding comes in for the study that we're working on.
All right. Well, I think I'm going to wrap this thing up. We're hitting right about an hour, so I think that's a good time to call it.
All right, man.
So thanks for the time. Much appreciated. Apologize to your wife for me.
Oh, no problem.
And
I get final editing privileges, right?
Yeah, you want to hear it before I post it to the public?
I'm joking. No.
All right. Well,
be fine.
I didn't plan on editing anything. I'm just going to throw it up there and see what happens.
Just bleep out.
I'm not bleeping
shit.
Send
me the audio, and then you can bleep out stuff.
Hey, you know what everybody's going to be really proud of is that we went a full hour, and you never said the C word. Throw it in right at the end. Give the people what they want.
A little bit worried about my family listening to me saying cunt.
Bam. Cunty.
You got that thing about, never mind.
Yeah. All right. Well, Russ, thank you very much. I am going to sign off. Thanks for doing it. And hopefully I'll get this up maybe today. We'll see how good I am at this. I'm pretty shitty at recording editing it together.
All right, man.
So, it was fun. All right. Thanks so much. Take care.
Take it easy.
All right. Bye.
Come on. Come on. Come on. Who's the man with his master plan? Who's the man? Who's the man? Who's the man with his master plan? Who's the man? Who's the man? Quietly runs the game, fixing bugs in the dark. Invite to the league, makes the dude jump the shark. Trick him for the loot, poke to make a big splash. Maybe crazy to the root, but this red made him cash. Look at the clock now, John's about to rock. 12th hour coming round, everybody starts to frown. Next thing I heard, phone's lying. Say sorry, or he's calling Brian. Run and go hide, the AUC was applied. The day the forum died, his reach is far and wide. I guess it's just something that you can't understand. Spooks in my hand, tell me who's the man.